Coming up on Smart Tech Today, Matthew Casinelli and I talk about the future of Jibo, that little adorable robot that has a future in the enterprise, a little bit like Google Glass. Plus, we talk about a bunch of stuff that's hit HomeKit, including some new and old cameras, some new options for light panels, and some changes coming to the Alexa app, as well as some new announcements from Amazon with its virtual assistant. All that and so much more on this week's episode of Smart Tech Today. Smart Tech Today is brought to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? Well, LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Smart Tech Today is brought to you by Raycon. Raycon's wireless earbuds are perfect for conference calls, video calls, music, or binging podcasts. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Go to buyraycon.com/STT and get 15% off your order today. Welcome back to Smart Tech Today, the show where we explain the exciting, the dynamic, and the sometimes confusing subject that is the Internet of Things. I am Micah Sargent.
And I am Matthew Casinelli. Hello, Micah. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing good. We will reveal more in our project later, but I got to sit outside in the sun today, and that felt really nice. So,
I don't know about you,
and
but
somehow there's automation involved. So,
I turn into a bit of a plant anytime I'm out in the sun. I just feel so energized by it. It's just soaking in those sunbeams feels so nice. Let's talk about something that doesn't feel so nice. And you put in the notes, let's not talk about it, but let's talk about it just to keep people updated. Officially today, Wink kicked off its subscription service. So if you had not somehow been following along with what's going on with Wink, Wink is this smart home hub that lets you communicate with loads of different smart items in your home. And up to this point, there was not a subscription service to be able to access and control your devices. But Wink said, hey, we're running out of money and we want to keep doing this thing. So we're going to need to have you pay $4.99 a month to use our service. And that is what went into effect today. The company delayed it a bunch of times. And finally, you know, they said, okay, look, we keep delaying it, but we really just have to do it this time. And so they are really doing it this time for real, actually. So yeah, there's that. Now you know about the Wink Hub. And if you out there are listening to this and you use a Wink Hub in your system, let us know. Send an email, stt@twit.tv. Let us know. And if you've got like a serious setup going on that's based around your Wink Hub, I'm just going to say it. We might bring you on to have a conversation with you about it. Because I don't know about you, but I'm curious. I want to know the people out there who actually do use the Wink Hub. So no promises, but if you end up being a person that like your smart home is based around the Wink Hub, I'm curious and I want to hear about it. Does that sound good to you, Matthew?
Sure.
Cool. I don't know. We don't really have anything else to say about Wink. It's just people should know that today is the day that it starts.
Yeah,
for sure.
I thought it was a nice Stacy on IoT, who does the other kind of Internet of Things, probably the original one podcast.
Yeah.
She had just a good article.
This Week in Google here on Twit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice. She had just a good article kind of about how now Wyze is going through a similar situation, and they sort of maybe saw this happen to Wink over the last 5 months and how brutal it can be to launch their own program now, because Wyze kind of got in a weird situation where the company that this is the next story of the company that they use to do detection got acquired by Apple. And so they weren't exactly planning on that when they set up all of those cameras and things like that. So now that that company is gone, they're undergoing a similar thing where they have to figure out, how do we provide this to people? And they've kind of gone through an interesting route, and it's a pay what you want plan, where if you want to use those kind of smart detection features on your Wyze cameras now, you can, or if you want to continue using what you previously had but then lost, now you can. But they're like, please pay us for it. An interesting model. And so I'm interested, Micah, what do you think about this?
Yeah. Again, not
great.
Yeah. Because again, it goes back to what we talked about before. You can't take things away from someone once you've given them to them, because at our hearts, we're all a bunch of toddlers. And I love toddlers, so it's not an insult, I promise. And the other thing is that it's the pay what you want thing. They're going to get me, because I'm that kind of person who, like, just today, in my, you know, I have a food subscription service that, you know, sends me ingredients every week, and I, you know, make food with it. And in it, they usually send a little card that has like free food boxes that I can give out to friends or family. And most of the time, they're just using those to have that one free food thing, and then they cancel. And I feel really like morally weird about that. And my partner has been trying to say, look, you need to chill, because A, you're paying this company every month or every week. And B, I can't remember if I said one or A, whatever. B, you have had a few times where, you know, a pepper came and it was molded or something like that, and so you weren't able to use it. You know, just it's fine. And so I'm trying to be better about that. So the pay-as-you-want thing is actually really hard for me, because I end up wanting to give a bunch more than it actually...
feel like guilty.
Yeah. Like, the minimum amount is $5, and I'm like, so do I give 50? What do I do? You know what I mean? So that works for me, but not everybody is burdened with that, I guess. And I'm not trying... this is not me trying to toot my own horn. I swear to God, it probably is coming off like that.
Being such a good person.
Yeah, not everybody is such a great person who... No, I just mean that... I don't see that. It's just charge an amount and make it that amount. And then I don't have to feel weird and guilty about it. And then other people aren't getting the service for free or close to free or whatever. And you just, if you just start with it. But I will say that this is a tough one too, right? Because it wasn't as if they went into it with a technology that was theirs and then took it away. But I don't know. How do you make that clear to your customers? It's like, this really isn't our fault and we're sorry, but we need to, I don't know. It's tough. It's a tough one.
They did kind of, I mean, you're still relying on a third party integration, and I'm sure that's part of why it's so cheap, is that they were relying on something else like this instead of doing it on their own. So it's kind of what happens, I guess, with some of the more, I want to say lower priced. I don't want to say cheap products, because they're not cheap necessarily, but it just kind of, I mean, that's also what happens with Apple, I guess, when they take your company and just snatch it away underneath of people. Like, I don't know if you use Dark Sky, for example, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people are running. I think it's slowly faltering over the summer as they like are integrating it into iOS 14. So yeah, it's kind of unfortunate, but I guess you can get it for free if you want it. So it's kind of, that part is more consumer friendly. And then they're just going to ask you to open your wallet, and you will. You'll pay for the 20 other people.
I'm looking. I don't know where to go to see this feature. Apparently, I have one free license available that I can use. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to look into this, because I've got, in fact, I'll be talking a little bit about, there was a certain product that just came out from under embargo today that I'll be talking about in my pick of the week. But I've got some Wyze stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious to see that feature specifically, this pay what you want kind of thing. So we'll have to see about that.
I mean, I was just surprised, especially... I'm curious if it's just as good as the old one, because it was like person detection and things like that. And that is just, I have been eyeing cameras like this. So I saw that news and then the first headline was just like, they lost their stuff. And I was like, oh man, that's not good.
Yeah.
That kind of takes away from the product. So I guess that is, if you go for the affordable thing, that they might lose some sort of, I mean, the too affordable thing, like suspiciously affordable sometimes.
Yeah. It can't be that way. And it's a balance that has to be reached. And it's kind of a tough one to figure out what is acceptable for low cost versus what's not. I wish we were in the studio because I would be able to talk about this while holding one. Is it Jibo? Jibo, the social Jibo? Robot.
I don't know how it's pronounced, honestly.
Is it? I think Burke knows Jibo. How it's pronounced.
Jibo.
Jibo. Okay.
Yeah. So there's one in the studio, and it's called Jibo, and it was gonna die. They were kind of shutting it down and saying, "Hey, no, this is not gonna happen." But I love when this happens. Some people said, you know what? I don't want this little baby pal to go away. So let's make sure that doesn't happen. Jibo owners learned in May that a company called NTT Disruption had bought Jibo and launched a new website describing a future for the robot in healthcare and education. The website doesn't address the owners much. Instead, it lays out a business-to-business model for Jibo, in which the robot becomes more of an enterprise product than a consumer one. So we can call this going the way of Google Glass. They're Google Glassing it, I think is what the new verb is that we've just invented here because we are cultural, cultural shapers.
Yes.
You're culture an influencer, shapers right?
On Twitter. Yes, officially.
Culture shapers today. No. Anyway. Oh, there it is. Look. They set it up for us in the studio.
Jibo. Nice.
If you're listening, you are not seeing the Jibo right now. So you may want to hop into YouTube and check out the Jibo or, you know, download the video version. It's up to you. But yeah, they're Google Glassing it. And oh, look at its little head rotate. That means that it is going to be, it's hard to say exactly what's going to be happening, but they do say in this article from The Verge, Jibo will remain operational for the people who already bought it. Mm-hmm. Their bonds. In fact, the company that bought it says, hey, we really like the capability to create digital embassy with any age, any race, or any type of human.
Yeah, that's what I thought was cool.
Yeah, so this is neat.
It works across ages, and they're saying education, children's hospitals, veterans, or elderly people. It's like that's probably the main target market already, but they're going to kind of do it from the enterprise version as opposed to the individual people taking care of it. And they were also talking about a lot of privacy because this is like people's for real digital companion, not just like a virtual assistant type of thing. And I mean, I think pretty much everybody heard about it when it was dying, like because they did this entirely depressing. It was like, I've had a lot nice time spending with you, but I'm going away now. And then like did a little dance and then died. And then it was like, oh my God. Or it was like goodbye forever, like as it fades into the distance.
No.
So it's like, I mean, I think it still worked after that, but for those people, it was pretty brutal. I don't know. And it's just like very modern internet smart things type of thing where
God, that
you buy
break
this
my heart.
Whole companion. And then, it's like, I'm going away now. Just when I learned to love.
I was beginning to feel.
Each other are going to be
oh, yeah, the video.
You can learn more at jibo.com and by tapping the What's New button in my menu. I want to say
this
I
is
really
just in someone's
our time
home.
Together. Thank you very, very much for having me around.
Top of the DVD
Maybe
case.
Maybe someday, when robots are way more advanced than today, and everyone has them in their homes, you can tell yours that I said hello. I wonder if they'll be able to do this.
Yeah, and then it dances.
Dance and then die?
I don't think it dies. It's not like actually doing it. I was dramatizing it, but still, it's just like, I'm going away now forever. It's like, it's literally the movie Her. It's like, we've advanced beyond the need for interaction with you. So, I mean, I guess it's just good for those people who actually loved it that for sure now it should stay around and won't just kind of die out. Or, I mean, I guess maybe they could have gone the Winker Wise route.
Oh my God. But,
I mean, that is like being supported by the healthcare thing makes a lot of sense. And it seemed like it was a real product for those people. Like it actually worked. And I think that's why it was kind of so dramatic when it did die. But that is nice. I can see people. It seems so simple too, but just like a little amorphous robot that you can kind of like project your imagination onto. So I guess it's nice that it has a second life now.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently they are also working on an app that will be Jibo in virtual form. So mm-hmm. that you can have Jibo on your smartphone. And again, the idea is that, what do they say? Everything that Jibo knows stays with Jibo or something like that. So yeah, that privacy implication that you were talking about. So that's good to know that Jibo will have a new life somewhere else.
Good luck, Jibo.
Good luck. We heart you. And good dancing there, pal. A new lighting panel system. I think, you know, for the longest time, the big lighting panel system that everyone knew about and used was, or that, you know, purchased one was NanoLeaf. NanoLeaf has an excellent series of smart panels that you can buy. They're kind of pricey, and they just came out with new hexagons, but turns out they're not the only ones. What are these new ones, Matthew?
Yeah, this is a cool article from iMore of the LifeSmart Colo Light Plus light panel system. So always a mouthful, of course, but it's a HomeKit enabled and Amazon and Alexa or Google and, oh my gosh, I'm just not going to say it. Okay. But I think the main thing is that the initial product is only $25, and then you can buy starting at $12.99 for a single panel and a pack of six for $89.99. So there is a whole list of ways you can combine these panels and set them together. They're little hexagon shapes. And so you can create different interesting shapes and different colors throughout each one to kind of have a almost like the light strip cast effect, but either they can be the art piece itself or just kind of in the image in Imar's article, it's kind of like an overhead or underneath cabinet lighting, which looks really nice too. So I thought this was just cool. Like, I'm still really interested in the NanoLeaf ones, and even just that they've been a company for a long time kind of instills a little bit more confidence than this is. I haven't even heard of LifeSmart before, but it's still like always nice to see other competitors in the scene, and especially them actually being HomeKit supported is nice. So I might be picking up a couple of these.
I'm curious. So they're a little different. They're a little bit, they're taller than the NanoLeaf panels. And what's interesting about them is that they can be both upper lighting, sort of facing down, but they could be on your wall, or they can actually kind of be a sculpture, which I think is really cool. So there are different configurations for these that you don't get with the NanoLeaf panels, given that the NanoLeaf panels are quite literally meant for the wall. So I think depending on how thick these are, panel might be a misleading word for what these are, simply because they're awfully thick, I guess. And when I think of panel, I think of a thin thing that you stick on something versus these, which are a little thicker. I don't see them. I'm looking for like measurements, but I don't see any measurements for it. 1.3 inches. Well, that's okay. Package dimension. So I don't know.
It's 3 inches wide. And based on the image, it doesn't look, it's like a third of that. So probably about an inch. So that does make sense. They're kind of chunky, probably more like putting a piece of art on the wall as opposed to like a thinner thing.
Yeah, where it's sort of meant to be part of the wall. I think this is a great idea, especially to have like a little sculpture piece that you can have that changes color. And it feels very, I could see some streamers definitely using these, game streamers with this in the background and their darkened rooms with their cool lighting in the background. That's a good idea.
I think I said this when I was talking about the LifeX ones, but I've been enjoying the ability to like set the environment around me, because it does. I've been also re-listening to the book Atomic Habits, and a lot of it is about how your environment affects how you live every single day. And every time I like turn on my fancy colored light strip and start the lights shifting around and things like that, I totally do. It's like, okay, now it's time to work. And that's been working for me. So even though I was like, oh man, I actually like RGB now. Like I get it in a way that I was a hater like you before. So hey. I even swiveled in my chair as I said that, because I was nervous about calling you a hater, but
you killed me.
You were hating a bit. So
I was being a bit of a hater. I just wasn't prepared to be called out for it. Lord help us.
Gotta keep you up.
I'm all right. I'm good. No, I kid. So let's talk about this now. What is this? It's about HomeKit Secure Video. I have noticed an increase in the number of cameras that support HomeKit's platform. And iMore has helpfully put together a list of all of the HomeKit Secure Video cameras. What I like about this is you can actually go to Apple's website, and Apple has a page that shows you what works with HomeKit accessories, but that page does not have pricing. And so you don't get to see, I'm trying to find it here. You don't get to see what actually...
Yeah, like realistically how much
what the prices are. Yeah, exactly. And which ones are available and things like that. This page does a good job of showing you, hey, here's what's out there, and gives you a little bit of information about them. Because, yeah, I've seen the Eufy Cam 2 and the Eufy Cam 2C and the different kinds of versions, but I didn't know necessarily the difference between them. And so being able to see that information here is really nice. Just like the Eufy Cam 2 and 2K Pro, the 2C camera keeps it wire-free with a built-in rechargeable battery, but comes in a smaller form factor. Camera also includes an integrated spotlight, which adds the ability to view in color at night. Spotlight does come with a cost, though, as it only gets 6 months of battery life between charges, and seems to be far less expensive than the other two. So this is really great to be able to see the different versions. And I had just talked about the Eufy Cam Indoor Cam Pan 2K on Clockwise last week. That is a new camera from Eufy that does the pan and scan stuff. You can pan left, right, up, down with it, and it works with HomeKit. I'm really impressed with what Eufy's been doing, because $50, $40, up to $350, but starting at that low cost and going up from there, that's incredible. And given that it is Apple HomeKit, that HomeKit Secure Video, I feel comfortable purchasing these products and knowing that this is video that's just going to be available locally on my own network, and that it's not going to go out into the world anywhere. So you get the benefit of the trust from having HomeKit Secure Video with the inexpensive prices that Eufy can provide. And I've been really impressed with what they've got here. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's good to keep an eye on, especially as they'll just be more and more rolling out over time. And I do just appreciate the author, Christopher Close, is like all up in HomeKit stuff. So I always get some good tips there. So check these ones out, because it's just hard to find this type of information. And like you said, the different places you can buy it and price comparisons. It's like on average, you're going to spend $150 to $200, but unless you go the budget friendly version. So it's interesting. There is all the way up to $730 if you're in Europe. So there's a lot there.
Yeah. I like the idea of being able to equip my home without having to spend $1 trillion with cameras if I wanted to. Let's talk about the Arlo Pro 3 floodlight camera. This is kind of a beautiful device that if I saw outside of someone's home, I would just be immediately intimidated anyway, even before the floodlight came on. And it is a floodlight camera. So it's basically a big panel and it's got lights on either side with the camera in the middle. It's 2K video. It's HDR apparently. And then provides night vision and everything that you need to be able to sort of keep an eye on what's going on outside. Yeah, this is quite nice. And you can get a version that has a solar panel. You can get a version that includes another Arlo camera with it, and a charging cable. So if you wanted to, you know, keep a way to charge it, even whenever it's, you know, without having to pull it down every once in a while, you could do that. And also, it's nice that it is a direct to Wi-Fi thing. So there's no hub or anything like that. So pretty bright cameras are, pretty bright floodlight. It's 2000 lumens of brightness, but if you use the charging cable, then it's 3000 lumens of brightness. That's quite a few lumens there. So yeah, I think this is a really nice video system, security system that comes from Arlo. Arlo makes high quality cameras, and this is you know, another addition to it that I'm really impressed with.
Yeah, this is nice. I'm very interested. I like the all these types of. It's always hard to like really understand when something is wireless or not. I feel like every product advertising makes it look like they're wireless when they do have to be end up being wired. So that's nice that it is rechargeable. And I just didn't really think of this product category combined. I was thinking of getting a floodlight that was activated by a motion sensor, but just it being both in one with the camera also is pretty nice. So I might get this for my backyard, but I don't think there's really HomeKit nice secure videos. So nothing yet. This is just standard HomeKit
support. Oh, just normal HomeKit support. Gotcha. Yeah.
Not on that list.
Yeah, I've got one, one camera that is HomeKit enabled, but is not HomeKit secure video enabled. And in comparison, it's not great. It doesn't quite have the same all-inclusive package that you get mm-hmm. whenever all of the rest of your cameras are HomeKit enabled. So, yeah, we'll see if they end up adding that functionality later. But I imagine, you know, one of the things that's difficult is when you've got a product that is multiple accessories and you're tying part of it mm-hmm. into the HomeKit secure video platform, and then part of it is a lighting system. How do you do that? Because one of the things with HomeKit secure video is it kind of does cut the device off from most other means of control outside of the HomeKit platform. And so that's one of the things that I've had to sort of figure out with the panning Wyze cam or with the panning Eufy cam is the pan and scan functionality is not available within the Home app. And so there's some stuff that I still have to use the Eufy app for, and that keeps it separate. So yeah, it's a little tricky, I'm sure, to try and figure out both. But the fact that it's at least HomeKit on its own means that you can use Siri and your Apple TV to view what's happening on the camera. And that's the main thing that I want, I think, from a system for sure. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, let's take a quick break before we come back with more. And I'm excited to talk about a new sponsor here on the network. It's Raycon. We're bringing you this episode of Smart Tech Today. Raycon has wireless earbuds that are incredible for all sorts of listening experiences. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you are listening to, not what your roommates, your neighbors, your significant others, or children are listening to. It's your music in your ears. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds, truly wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you got to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbud on the market, and they sound just as amazing as the other top audio brands you know. In fact, Raycon's newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet. You get 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, better bass, and a compact design that gives you a nice noise isolating fit. That's perhaps the best part about Raycons, is that really nice isolating fit that you get. They're so small and they perfectly fit inside your ear, and you can just click those in there, and that seal means that you get that isolating sound that you want to make sure that you're not hearing everything else around you. It's just you, your Raycons, and your ear canal. It's perfect. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable that they're perfect for conference calls or for binging podcasts. And in fact, one of the coolest things is that there are multiple ear tips. It's not just that typical, you know, you get a small, a medium, and a large. You get a bunch of different sizes so that you can find the ones that fit perfectly for you. It's not just boom, 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 but it's, oh, I just need that half size smaller. And, you know, I don't know about you, but my ear canals are shaped differently. I'm pretty sure that's how it works with everybody. So you might have one that's a extra small and one that's a small, or one that's a large and one that's a medium. And being able to switch out those ear tips to have all those different options available, it's perfect. It's fantastic. Unlike some of the other options out there, Raycon earbuds are stylish, they're discreet, and you don't have to worry about dangling wires or stems to distract you during your video calls. The company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like, I don't know if you heard of them, Snoop Dogg, huh? Brandy? Okay. And they are obsessed with their Raycons. You out there can pick up a pair and see what the hype is all about. I really do dig these Raycon earbuds. The above everything else, it's just you get this little nugget, and you pop that open, and there are these tiny little earpieces in there. You slip them in your ears, they fit perfectly, and they're so small and discreet, and yet they're putting this really high quality sound into your ears at the same time. So lightweight, easy to charge, they sound great, and for folks who like a little bit more bass, they're especially great. So I think that's what's fantastic about them. Plus, like I said, I was really impressed with the multiple sizes of tips, because that's one of the things I always have to do anytime I get any new headphones, any new earbuds, is I've got to go online and buy some ear tips, because the ones that come in the box don't seem to fit me how I'd like them to. With these, you get so many different options to try. Yeah, you can even see there, if you're looking at the screen, they've got, what is it, extra small, small, medium, large, and extra large sizes. So you can find the perfect fit for you. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/STT. That's buyraycon.com/STT for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/STT. Our thanks to Raycon for sponsoring this week's episode of Smart Tech Today. And hey, go support a Black-owned business. We do appreciate that. All righty, let's talk about Amazon. Amazon apparently had an event, and I didn't know that. You didn't know that. I don't think many people knew about this, but Amazon is creating a new Alexa app, and that means that you're going to get just kind of controls that are customized to you. So depending on what you use within the Amazon app, or rather the Alexa app, it will show you kind of what you want to do on the screen immediately. Right now, it's more about suggestions and, hey, maybe you want to try this, or, hey, you want to see how to get to this. But they're going to a place where it's going to show you those things that you do all the time anyway, and kind of make it easier for you to get to those tools and features. So I think this is going to be a good change for sure to the Alexa app.
Agreed. This is absolutely necessary. Like, I don't know if you've ever used the app, but it's dreadful. And I think it takes like 15 taps to ever find anything that I want, even just it's like, where are my devices? I don't understand it. They're not exactly well versed in iOS app design, I would say. So, I mean, it's cross platform, even still, never been super functional. And there's even more that we'll talk about from the event too that links back into this. So it's pretty interesting. Like, they're kind of, it feels like almost a big reset button, but also moving forward with stuff. And their event was a developer focused event. So I was thinking about the same thing too, of like, I mean, obviously we're a little bit more Apple biased, but even then I was Googling for it and could barely find 5 articles that were covering the event. So they were pretty quiet. And also, even I wouldn't say that there's exactly a huge swath of people who solely identify as voice developers. So it is kind of like, there's not a strong audience of Amazon developer. Like, those people are developers of something else who also develop for voice. So it makes sense that it's not exactly, people aren't ranting and raving about the latest Alexa developer updates right now. Right, but it will turn into cool consumer stuff. So I think why it's worth talking about now, because we'll be seeing some interesting stuff soon.
For sure. Then let's talk about what happened at the Alexa event, which is meant to focus on kind of the assistant itself and what updates are coming to that system, including conversations, which is supposed to provide some kind of interactions that are a little bit scripted, but also provide a way to kind of be chatty and conversational with Alexa, instead of it being so, I say that perfect thing to you and then you respond back to me how I want it. It makes you feel less like you've got to say the right thing, and more like you can just have a conversation with the device, which I think is what it wants, what Amazon wants in the end anyway, is what it's, you know, trying to go for. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited about some of this stuff, but you took some notes on the event and got to see some cool stuff that's being worked on. What's some stuff that's got you excited?
Sure. Along with that part, I think at least for developers, you had to map out an entire storyboard, like you said, of every single thing that somebody could possibly say, and all the iterations of, I don't know, just my brain is going to like shortcut versus shortcuts and all of that. So I think that's going to be a lot smarter now for developers themselves, of not having to put that much in. And Amazon also kind of broke this into a second portion that they were calling the name-free interaction toolkit. Sorry. Toolkit, where instead of saying like every single time I have to say open TripAdvisor to plan my trips, you can just say plan my trip, and based off of your frequent interactions with the app or your some sort of recent usage, it can automatically suggest that to you, or it can pick for you and then go with it. So Stacy on IoT was also asked them for more detail, and they were saying like it will be based off of your interaction, not just like pay whoever pays the most or something like that. I will get back in general to the whole privacy aspect of some of these things that are coming too, but in terms of just pure features, I think the experience will just be a lot less robotic, ironically, since we're talking to the little robots. But some more developer things, I think they're really leaning in to the displays. I said it. I get one per. It's an entire event about it, so it's hard to not process that. But the APL, the presentation language for her, lets people like choose to have sound effects or interactions on screen, and even just little things like being able to go back in a step on the screen and stuff like that you couldn't do before. So now that will be a lot better. Some of the stuff, and a web API for games. So developers can kind of have those interactions through the voice and the screen at the same time. So that actually does sound pretty fun. Like, once people integrate this, you could have some more rich multimedia experiences, not just voice. It can then be, what do you call display tech? interacting with that. That's not.
Oh, that's a good.
It is touch, but like, okay, we can come back to that.
Yeah.
For now.
To call that.
But there's a lot there too, because I think they were also emphasizing on the go now, where I think a really cool thing is that you can resume skills. And I immediately was jealous because I want this with shortcuts. To be able to come back to one shortcut multiple times would be like, I was like, oh my gosh, that would be so cool. Cause then you could do I tend to put a bunch of steps right at the beginning, but if you could pause, come back and really like resume something, that seems really interesting. And their good example was just Uber. When you call a car first time, you're requesting the car where you want to go and stuff. And then the second time it's just like, it's on the way or something like that. So It doesn't have to, maybe they could have handled that on their own in the back end, but now it's easier for developers. And then the other interesting thing is that Amazon's assistant is coming for apps. So Alexa for apps, which is seems very much like shortcuts, where you can basically use your Echo and say, do this in my app. And if the developer has supported it, then it can interact with that app. I don't have all the details of how exactly that works, if it's just going to leave a message or if your device has to be open and active, but that's very fascinating because that's always been, I've always kind of, since Apple announced shortcuts and I saw what became of workflow, I was always curious how Amazon could possibly compete in the app market with their voice assistant because they don't have a phone. Fire Phone was a massive failure. And just on a daily basis, Amazon stuff is great for in the house and now a little bit more on the go, but having it actually interact with your apps on your phone is very interesting. The major thing there for me is, how do you know that your app is enabling that, and how much information is it passing back to them about usage? Cause that's like that's the stuff that I'm okay with Siri knowing on my phone. But right, I don't want device, to like,
yeah,
go out. Yeah. So that's super interesting. Another major thing is quick links for skills, which is just a way to actually see a skill in the app. I'm trying really hard not to say it, but it's basically you can click a link and it will open in the Amazon app, the Amazon Echo Lady Assistant app, and it can actually take you to it, which is it's very wild that this wasn't possible at all before, because it's like, oh, how do I get this skill? You go to their website and it says open the app and look for the skill. It's like, great, thanks guys, didn't need that advice. Like, I just didn't want to do that, take me directly there. So now people can do that, so I'm also jealous of that. And then I was trying to, of course, be like, okay, how could I put it on my website where if you had shortcuts, it would just run the shortcut when you tapped it? Because that's a thing that's like, that's interesting to me. I guess it's just installing it. It's just like the iCloud links for shortcuts, but I don't know. That's a great user experience thing, because discovering a skill is either you are asking this voice interaction thing and you have no way of actually finding more information about it, except for then going into the app and finding it yourself. It's kind of a disparate experience. So hopefully this will just get people using more skills and getting more developers exposure. And then some other stuff of on the screens, you can now make in-app purchases and Amazon is going to take 30% of that. So maybe more free skills that have richer experiences that you can unlock and kind of pay for on the little screen. And then the last little bit is their module for people being able to create assistant skills in physical products is just now cheaper. It's $4 and you can kind of set up your own type of thing. So that's pretty fascinating. I didn't see too much about this, but I'm interested if it means that people like you and me who want to tinker can get into it more, because that's super cool. I was always very fascinated with the dash buttons, because a lot of people immediately hacked those and turned them into little IoT buttons. And I just recently put new batteries back in my little Hue button and I want to get it set up with some new fancy automations. So that kind of stuff is always fun too. So there's tons here, and it is, I almost entirely missed it. It was pretty low key. Maybe they'll do a more consumer event where they have examples of developers integrating this stuff later on. So that,
right, that might make more sense. Right, where they'll announce, but, you know, a new twerking bear and a new microwave and things like that.
The bear is the example of the little physical Wi-Fi module that you can get. So maybe there'll be even cheaper bear, a smaller bear now. Who knows?
The micro wonders bear. Of
technology.
Micro twerk.
Yeah.
Don't know if I want that, but
yeah, maybe we should move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Speak in news. I was trying to think of something clever to say for things that we want to have happen. In news of the things that we want to have happen. God, that was a terrible segue. You can finally watch Netflix on the Google Nest Hub and Nest Hub Max. So these screen-first devices, or they're not screen-first devices, they're voice-first devices with screens, have you not been able to watch Netflix on them, which is just kind of odd because you'd think that, you know, this device that has this big, beautiful screen would be something that you could watch media on, and Google and Netflix are playing well with each other and have decided, you know what, that's actually a good idea. And so now you can watch Netflix on your Google Nest Hub or Nest Hub Max. And I remember you saying that you watch YouTube videos from time to time on your Nest Hub. Isn't that correct? Yes, so this is probably exciting for you.
Oh, yeah. I was just over here like, this is one of those articles where I actually exclaim out loud. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Excuse me. But yeah, this was my main disappointment when I first bought this product, and now I can use it, and I might buy another one just for this because these are great in the kitchen, and I have one actually right over behind me on my little side table in my office. And now I want to watch Netflix on it in both places, and that might lead me to maybe get the Max and put it on my little monitor stand here on my desk for video calls and watching YouTube videos and maybe some TV while I work, because I have noticed lately, especially when all time is the same and every day is the same, nothing ever changes inside your home. It's like I do end up working later or something, or it's just nice occasionally to put on a TV show when I don't feel like watching or I don't feel like working, and then just kind of do some stuff and maybe then turn it off when I actually get going. But those are nice. I think that makes a ton of sense. And I'm pretty sure this logically sounds like a follow-up to the Google events that we just saw where they added these new APIs to make this stuff possible, and it just wasn't ever up to Netflix's standards before. So I don't think at all that I expected when we just talked about this that Netflix would have it out in 2 weeks, but that sounds like Netflix, especially during a pandemic. So get it onto every screen we can possibly get it onto. So I'm super satisfied. That's awesome.
Yeah. Then Google Maps, like Apple Maps, has added biking features, so you can know where to go with your bike, which is good. Mm-hmm. A lot of people use Google Maps and have for years.
Well, it's had biking for a while, but...
what's new then? Oh, new features for biking.
Yeah, my apologies. But I think a big thing that they're doing is adding in bike share stuff. This article also is a little deceiving. They make it look like they just added more biking stuff, but I think the main update for just biking specifically is that they're adjusting all of the routes due to unusual closures, because I don't know about where you live, but there's tons of roads around us that are closed to cars now, and especially bike paths. So, or bike routes. So they're keeping that up to date. I think they might have been a little upset that Apple was getting a bunch of credit for having Viking Directions.
So it's like, hey,
we, just so you know, we've been doing this for the last 10 years.
Here's a little update.
But they are adding docked bike share directions and stuff. So if you have that in your city, there's Chicago, New York, San Francisco, Washington, London, Mexico City, Montreal, Rio de Janeiro, Sao Paulo, Taipei, and New Taipei City. So yeah. Pretty neat. Just again, I think a major thing actually is that the interesting tidbit is that since February, Google Maps requests for cycling directions have jumped 69%. So tons and tons of people are out there biking. And I actually just pumped up my bike tires this weekend in anticipation of one day feeling comfortable enough to leave the house and go biking. But
What percentage? We'll see about that.
69%.
Nice.
Thanks, Michael.
And then lastly, but not leastly, let's talk about automations in shortcuts. Actually, before we do that, I'm going to talk about one that I just added this morning. Very fun. So there is a medicine that I take. It's an as-needed medication. And so I don't need to take it all the time. But when I do take it, I want to know at what time I took it. And, you know, I used to just sort of keep it in my head. But there are more important things for my brain to be doing, more important things for my brain to be processing mm-hmm. than holding on to these bits of information that it doesn't need to hold on to. So what I did was I decided, because there are plenty of ways I could have gone about this, and I could have, I don't know, set up a pages document and, you know, spreadsheet and put them into the spreadsheet or notes or calendar or whatever. But I like to KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And I already use my iMessage chat with myself as a way to collect links and information that I want to remember. And so I set up a personal automation in Shortcuts where when this NFC is detected, it takes the current date and the current time and then the dosage of the medicine, and it just sends me a text message and it says, hey, you took this on this date at this time. And so that way, when inevitably I forget, you know, what time I took it, I can go back in my, you know, message conversation and say, oh, okay, cool. So I should or should not have it again, or, oh, I'm good because I took it earlier than the day. Because again, it's an as needed. So it's not as if it's an always kind of thing where I use the Do app for that kind of medication. But yeah, this was a simple way for me to keep that in my head, or not have to keep that in my head, but keep it without me having to keep it in my head. And so I think personal automations are a lot of fun, and it's a different type of automation than I think that, you know, people are used to whenever they think about automations. And I've got another one that is, there's an NFC sticker underneath my desk at Twit. And what I wanted it to do was use it as a way to quickly turn on Do Not Disturb for a certain period of time, right as I was about to go from my desk into the studio. Because I would come into work, I would be at my desk preparing for a show, and then I would walk from my desk to the studio, so I could just boop, tap my phone down really quick. It would set up Do Not Disturb for a predetermined amount of time, and then I'd walk in the studio, Do Not Disturb would be on, it would turn off afterward. Of course, I don't use that one right now because I'm at home, but yeah, that one was set up too. So I think these are a lot of fun, and Joseph Keller, fantastic former colleague of mine, he's awesome, and he's written an article over on iMore, my favorite new automations in Shortcuts in iOS 14. When I first saw this headline, I thought it might have been Matthew Casinelli. But yeah, this is interesting. We've got all sorts of stuff. So what are some of these that maybe you have used, haven't used, or some of these that have inspired you to want to add to your complex library.
I'm trying to figure out before we do that if the photo in the article literally is my hand, and I think it is. It looks like my hand, so I think they might have reused my photo with a different screenshot, so that it also confused me when I saw it because I was like, "Did I write that?" No. but yeah, Joe's been doing a lot of
to the camera now.
Oh, here, wait. Try to composite them together in real time. It's a little difficult. I can't do it that way, but that's okay.
Does say, oh, did they just change the screenshot on the screen? Because I was going to say, it says Keller House.
Because I don't shoot new photos for every single one of my stories. But yeah, so Joe's got a series of automations. And I thought even the very first one I thought was great because I hadn't thought of it at all. Now there's a low power mode or a battery automation toggle, but the way that he did it was he basically set his own level for low power mode to turn on. So you can just set when my battery level falls below a certain percentage, do something. My brain was like, there's already one for low power mode. Why would you do that? This lets you set it to if maybe it only reaches 30% before it turns on low power mode. And then the action is just turn on low power mode. So I thought that was pretty clever. I've been having
battery issues. Can you explain that again?
Yeah.
So what is different with this than just using low power mode?
The automation itself is when my phone hits 30% battery, then do something. And he just has it turn on low power mode at that point instead of waiting until 20%. Like his complaint was that you can't customize whether it's 20% or not. It's just 20% for everybody. And this gives you the power to do that. So maybe your phone is older and you have worse battery life, or like during beta season, my phone is dying all the time. I think I've been at 20% most of the time for the last 4 weeks. So this is kind of, I might set this to like 50% because I probably need to start thinking about it near the charger around then.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
The other one that he has is just changing your watch face. So this is a new action. We mentioned it before that you can have set your watch face to one of the different faces that you have. And he has it set at 7:15 a.m., turns it to his favorite modular compact one for starting runs. What is kind of funny, I'm curious if he knows that you can do when I start a workout, change my watch face. So it could actually change directly, but I mean also beforehand. And if you want to get prepared and things like that, you can have it set ahead of time. So that always makes sense. All of these will always be custom to you, but I think what's cool is there's just unlimited ways that people could use it. And then the last one that I think is really clever is a custom AirPlay alarm. So when his alarm goes off, there is no alarm that actually goes off. It just triggers the shortcut, which then uses set playback destination to change it to his speaker, which is a Bluetooth speaker. And so he said it always has a little bit of trouble connecting immediately. If I start playing, then it will play 5 seconds of the song, then switch to the speaker and be 5 seconds in the middle of the song and kind of blow you away with it or something. So, I mean, I think this is piano or something like that. So maybe not that, but he puts in a wait action. So it just waits a little bit and then does it. And I've done the same thing with my Apple TV before, where if you use the wake Apple TV action, you usually want to wait 5 seconds before you do something else because just has to turn the Apple TV on and everything. So that's pretty clever. But then it just plays soft music on his speaker in the room. So that's awesome. Like, these are legit super powerful things that people should do. And then the other one is great for podcasters is when you get a message from your co-host with a specific thing. Like, I even thought about this today because I sent you the sheet link for the Google Doc that we use together. And I could just do that every time. And then you could have an automation like he does where then it has do not disturb turn on because it's like, all right, it's time for the show. So I thought those were pretty clever uses of the new messages automation, the Apple Watch actions, time of day automations that are now truly automatic, and then low power mode, the battery trigger ones. So good article from Joe.
cool. Yeah, that I love. See, you just don't think of all of the things that you can do, and then someone does something that is similar to what you're creating or doing, and suddenly you're just like, oh my God, I just have thought of 1,000 different things that I want to try. And I was really encouraged by the NFC tag that I set up with my blood pressure. I was trying to mix Bluetooth and blood pressure together. So it's going to be like blue pressure. Anyway, blood pressure monitor. And when I had done that, you know, it just encouraged me, oh, I could do this or I could do this or I could do that. And so that's what got me to want to add the NFC sticker to the medicine. And then not too long ago, let me find it here. We got an email and then a text message. No, a tweet rather. I'm having trouble finding it now. There was a tweet that came to me letting me know, and I'm sorry, I'll have to give credit next time. We'll follow up with that. I got a tweet saying, hey, you know how you've been wanting to create a shortcut that lets you record your toothbrushing activity? So up to this point, still in this beta, this like, what are we on? Beta 2 of iOS 14. So as of iOS 13 and now iOS 14, for some reason, toothbrushing exists as a separate entity. And Matthew, this will make more sense to you maybe than the outer world if you don't have too much experience with shortcuts, but I want to dig into this for just a second. So when you go into shortcuts and you are setting up a new shortcut, you can tap on apps, and you tap on apps, and then it lets you see a bunch of different apps that you have. And when you tap on those, it shows you shortcut options. And I'm probably not using the correct terminology, but just go with me here. The different options that you have for that app, kind of different things you can do, different actions you can take within that app. So you tap on health and it shows you get data for, you know, the different health entries. And then it shows like write data to health entries. And then there's another one, I think it's other activity or something like that.
There's and then the find health one, samples and log health sample.
Yes.
Which is a weird term.
They are. And then there's other samples or something like that. And then the last one is toothbrushing. For some reason, toothbrushing exists on its own, not as just listed as a health sample option. And so you can't log toothbrushing because it doesn't exist within that list of possible samples to log. Instead, it exists as a way to just launch the toothbrushing page in the health app. Annoying. And so I've always been annoyed by the fact that I can't set up a little automation that would let me tap my phone onto the charger, for example, of my toothbrush, and then it would log that I brushed my teeth for that evening. Someone awesomely wrote in and said, hey, guess what? If you use the Streaks app, which is an app available for iOS, which is a task management app, and it sort of helps you set habits, it integrates with the health app for iOS and will write to the health app for iOS. So it does that for water, it does that for exercise, it does that for lots of things, but it includes an option for toothbrushing. And so what you can do is set the toothbrushing option in Streaks and then go into the Shortcuts app, set up a new personal automation that says, when you detect this NFC tag, then, and then you tap on apps and you tap on Streaks, and then you can take and drag that onto the shortcuts you're setting up. And so what it does is whenever I tap the NFC tag, then it marks that as completed in Streaks, which then tells the health app, hey, this person brushed their teeth for X amount of time.
That's awesome. It's a great way to do it. I'm sure it's just I was going to say it could still not be fixed in the beta because they might not know about it because Micah Sargent hasn't filed the radar.
Hey, send Matthew Casanelli $5.
I don't see an app for that.
Oh, great.
Perfect.
I'm doing
it. Should have made a shortcut to send $5.
Yeah, exactly. What was I thinking? You're supposed to be able to do that. That's been a Siri intent for ages.
And I also have a link to my file a radar shortcut if you wanted to use that.
Shortcuts, feedback for toothbrushing. Boom. Yes.
For real, though, my shortcut to file feedback guides you through how to format the feedback and everything. So it's easy. But
So if you don't want to pay for it, then you can file a radar. You can use Matthew's shortcut for that.
Fair. Okay. I will use it then. He literally just sent me $5. So
it's feedback as a service. It's fast. all right. Tell me about your project. I've done enough ranting.
Sure.
Oh, and I expect proof. I expect proof of my purchase, please. And thank
you. I mean, I could do it right now if it would take a couple seconds, but you know.
No, let's go ahead and let's finish the show first.
Sure thing. Yeah. So I have finally, after many moons, established my smart home backyard, which is awesome. And I actually, let me see. I'm going to tweet out the photos real quick because there is this tiny little strip of backyard that we had always considered basically nothing because it's a dead garden and then a metal path and then dead grass with like rocks in it. So it's not exactly it's just kind of like a way to get to the little tiny dilapidated garage that's falling apart that we have also on the property. So my girlfriend's grandmother's home and everything. So she's an amazing Berkeley woman who like built herself there's too much to the story, but we've like never actually used this house kind of because it's always been a family home and we weren't totally sure how long we were going to be here or anything. And there's just this little strip and never did anything about it. So then, of course, 4 months into quarantine, it's like, let's maximize every inch that we have. If there's 3 feet right here that we can utilize, we're going to utilize it. But the big thing is that the side of the house kind of comes over near where the fence is. And we realized that I think one day while we were walking, we saw somebody else who has a triangle shaped sunshade so that basically out in their front yard, they could have little patches of shade in a space where there's no trees or anything like that. And we got very interested because that sounded really nice and we have just the right space. And I think the sunlight is okay for it. It really is only useful for like a certain portion of the day, but when you're home all day long, every day and might be for the foreseeable future, it's like, all right, let's do this. So we bought a smart shade from, I don't think I put it in the show notes, but we have a shade from Amazon that we ended up luckily, I think they lost it or it was delayed in transit. And so they ended up giving us the price back for free because they just kind of do that sometimes. They're like, oh, we lost it. We'll give you a refund. And then it shows up anyways. So that actually was extremely nice because that cut the project.
Yeah.
Cost in half from it was $50 for that. And then we ended up, I don't think I calculated the string lights because I bought those separately. But a while back, I had bought a set of string lights, just Amazon basics. And then I had seen the Maross outdoor smart plug. So it's just a smart plug setup that it's just a little two outlets on one that is all waterproof so you can keep it outdoors. And then I have a long extension cord that is actually thrown up on the top of the garage. And we even have like this little trellis thing that there's just an orange cord going through it now. So at least it's off the ground. I'm going to replace it with a green one. And I think like staple it all underneath. But for now, it's looks really nice in the backyard, at least not from the front of the house. But hey, we're in it all the time, so we don't notice. I haven't emphasized how not great it looks to my girlfriend sometimes. And that's just like, we'll deal with it. But then we basically got a set of eye hooks, either ones that went through the fence post itself. I took a drill and drilled the holes. We got to love American measurement sizes of like 3/16 or 8/32 of an inch. Oh my gosh. It was just figuring. And also, of course, I did a Home Depot pickup for some of the parts, and I showed up and half of them are right, and then the other half are like miniature versions that I didn't realize online were like 1 inch long, not 10 inches or something like that. So that part, going to Home Depot and everything, was a little bit just, I think that's the first store I've been to in the last 4 months, but thankfully that place is huge. It's very airy, at least. And I was only in the front for a couple minutes. But then the fun little thing is what's called turnbuckles. So these are
turnbuckles. Oh, I've been waiting to hear about turnbuckles.
These are fascinating little hooks that basically, it's two separate hook ends that go into this piece of metal. And when you rotate the piece of metal in the center, it can either pull the hooks together or push them farther apart. So essentially, you can adjust the tension on something while it's already connected. Like a major thing with tarps is if they're in the wind, they just blow around if they're not taut and have a lot of tension in them. So these allow you to basically, I extended them as far as they could apart and then put it on the sides of the shades and then hooked it into all of the little eyelets that we had created on two rafters in the house and then two spots on the fence. And then you put those in at already what seems like too tight, like we could barely get it on, but then you take a screwdriver, stick it through the turnbuckle and rotate it, and it slowly brings the ends closer and closer together so that it just tightens the entire shade and prevents it from flying around in the wind, which ends up having tons of torque and can like tear your fence down if it's really windy. So we will have to take this down during the winter, but basically it means with that. And then I went through and just took nails and hammered in the string lights and got that all wired along the garage and then into the smart plug light. And then the kicker was I have a Eve door sensor that we have a really weird house, and the bathroom is kind of behind like a second set of doors in the back, like the downstairs bathroom. And so I had the Eve door light on that, or the sensor on that, never really used it much. It was kind of just like, did we leave it open at night? Instead, now this is on the actual back door. And whenever we go outside into the back, the string lights turn on at night. And now we already have gone out there and had a beer for like an hour on Saturday night, where I don't think we've ever spent any time in that backyard. On Sunday, I read out there for a while, and we have our little camping chairs and a junky little IKEA table that ends up just being perfect because the chairs, then you can put your feet up on the IKEA chairs. And we were just like, oh my gosh, this strip of land that was nothing at all and looks dead has now become, I put out a sleeping bag and took a nap underneath the shade thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to heal my soul right now. So altogether, I think it was 130, maybe 150, like price wise, we ended up getting the discount, which was great, but this is very cool. It instantly is extremely satisfying just to be able to spend some time outside without a mask and feeling like, I don't know, it's actual privacy outside is something that I pretty much moved to California for this and have just now finally achieved it. And I'm pretty satisfied. So that is, if you can do something like this, I highly recommend it. I think I got to look up the video that I watched, but I now know how to tie a fancy knot as well, because I wanted to make sure all of those things were on there. And just, I mean, it's not anything super complicated, but just one that will stay. And an important part was be able to come apart easily, because we had to then readjust it once. And if you just tied a traditional knot and then it gets tension on it, it gets tighter and tighter and impossible to undo. So, and then, of course, I was like, what if I learned how to tie other knots? And then it's, you go into that whole YouTube knot rabbit hole of like, I got my own like twine here. This is my favorite kind of twine. It's like, where did this come from? I don't need knots ever. But I was like, I get it. What you are never going to learn a knot until you have to do it. Or once you do it 8 times in a row, then that really does emphasize in your brain how it works. So, hey, there's a little side benefit there too. But I'm pretty satisfied. And Maras has good products. I saw they also have like a little in-wall light switch thing. So I thought that was cool. I think that's a new brand too that I hadn't seen before. And now I'm going to be using all the time. So I got to think of some other fancy automations or completely excessive things to put back there to automate. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But
that's awesome.
Very, very good start. Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right. I will talk about my pick of the week, and then we will talk about your pick of the week, and then we will say goodbye. So my pick of the week is a product that is officially out of embargo now. It is the WiseCam Outdoor. This is a new product from Wyze that involves both a waterproof camera that is remote, so no wires or anything like that. Remote, whoops, it's got a magnet. Ooh, on the bottom. Yeah, it's remote powered and lets you connect it, you know, to a wall or somewhere, and then you can set it up that way. And it comes with a, well, I don't think I can really pull this over here, but it comes with a little device that you hook up directly to your router. So it's meant to have this hub that basically connects to different Wyze cameras that you have set up around your home. And that way you don't have to have this, a bunch of Wi-Fi devices on your network. So it has its own little radio signal that it's sending around to communicate with your devices, and you can have it outside and then you just bring it in. I think it's once every 6 months or something like that to charge. It's 1080p live stream and recording, which is awesome. Works in all sorts of different configurations. And you can have it indoor or outdoor, of course. It's got IR cameras, IR lights, so you can see it at night, which is nice. Whenever the sun goes down, it switches on those IR lights. And with motion detection, which is passive infrared motion detection, plus the stuff that we talked about before for Wyze, which is that person detection technology. You can get four cameras per one base station. And so you can connect all of those. And the starter bundle is just $49.99 for the starter bundle. Yeah. That's a really good price. And then after that, $39.99 for each camera that you add to the setup. It's really, I'm really impressed with this device because, you know, I was talking before about the Eve Cam feeling a little light and sort of just didn't have much substance to it. This does. This has this. I mean, if I was hit with this, it would hurt
a little brick.
Yeah. Quite a bit. It's strong. It has this nice sort of almost a satin touch kind of finish to it. It's got a little thread on the bottom if you did want to use. Well, I guess I probably shouldn't show all that because it's got the MAC address and stuff. it's got a thread on the bottom so that you could connect it to, you know, a regular camera tripod system. And then, like I said, it comes with this magnetic mount. So you fasten this onto a surface and then you just magnetically put it on there and the camera's ready to go. All sorts of configurations. You can put an SD card within the actual camera itself, which is nice. And then for recording, and then you can also put an SD cam or an SD card in the base station so that all of the cameras can sync to that base station and be able to, you know, save the memory there. So put a big old whopping micro SD card in the base station, and then the cameras that are all set up around the place can just use that. And then what's nice is after you do primary setup, from that point on, you just hit the sync button on the base station and the sync button on any new camera that you add, and then it does all of the work for you. So there's not any, you know, horrible pairing process that you have to do after that first time. And the pairing process wasn't that bad anyway, but it is nice that, you know, you do it once and then it's pretty much super simple to do from that point on. I'm trying to think if there's anything else worth talking about with it. I've been impressed with the camera quality so far. It's got two-way audio, so you can use it to communicate. You know, if it's going to be your package checker type device, yeah. and you can communicate with your delivery person very easily. And yeah, given that it's wireless, that is quite nice because it means that you don't have to, you know, you can kind of put it wherever you want it as long as you can get it back down so that you can charge it, which I think is great. Oh, that's what I was going to say. It also has this interesting feature that is called travel mode. And with travel mode, you can set it up somewhere and it doesn't need a Wi-Fi connection. It doesn't need any online stuff. It just does offline video recording. So you can, you know, if you're staying in a hotel or if you're going backpacking in the Rockies is their example, then, you know, you might want to set it up in your hotel room. That way you don't need to connect to the hotel Wi-Fi or anything like that, but you could just check in later to see if, you know, everything's how you expect it to be in your hotel room. And then setting it down somewhere where you can see squirrels feeding or, you know, out in the wild blue yonder, seeing a deer go by or something. There are just multiple options with the offline video recording, so it can work kind of as a main system. And it doesn't just work with the WiseCam Outdoor itself. It also works with the base station. So you could have multiple cameras connected to that base station all doing offline video recording. So you could set up a whole scene. It's very cool. I think I've never heard of that. Yeah, that the what do they call it? Travel mode. I've never really heard of that idea before. So that was a cool thing to see that they offered that as well.
That's that ultimate vlogging, like set up one in every corner and then you just like walk in. Because I'm interested. I do think I want to have like a thing in the corner just because I do live streams. And I don't know, it would be kind of interesting sometimes. I'm all about that Truman Show life sometimes. I mean, except for I have the choice to turn them off. So that's a big part. But I think it's pretty interesting. And why stuff is so cheap. Like, I think the HomeKit part is obviously gets me a little bit, not having that. But I got to get them to...
It's expensive.
Yes. Good point. But maybe I should tweet at them and be like, you guys should have shortcuts. Because that's a good way for... Can't send you data out, but you could... pull it as you need or something like that. So
absolutely,
that is always the route around when you're trying to go the low cost route for building these products. But this is cool. Nice. I want like the camping time lapse is a great example of it's, I mean, these are so affordable that you could just like have one and stick it in the tree and you could have two or something like that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Tell me about your pick of the week.
Yes, this is cool. I thought it was a clever app for Android, actually, but it's kind of paired with a new feature that's coming to iOS 14. It's a generalized security feature of whenever some app on your device is using the camera, it can show a little indicator light. So iOS 14 is bringing this to iPhones just by default, just as a security thing. There's even been a story, who knows if it's a bug or not, but it's like Instagram's camera is on while you're scrolling the feed or something like that. That's not fun. It probably plays into people's fears that Instagram is listening and watching to them as they're using the devices. but there's an app for the Google Play Store that enables the same thing. So it's called XS Dots, and you just install it and... It's a little sketchier, but this is just me probably coming from on iOS, you allow individual features access more information on your phone, but the way Android always does it is generally on install, you ask for permission, and just for this device this app ask for permission to look at all of your screens and look at everything that's going on in order to do this. So I think that's always a little bit weird, but... functionally, it does the same type of thing where once you enable it, then all of the other Android, like this is something that Android uniquely could do with a third-party app as opposed to the OS, is anytime you use any other app, it will then show that green indicator dot. So sort of letting you know that this app is also using your information. And then you can also see a history of all of the apps that have been using your camera too. So the author of the article is saying like there's definitely like ads in the app because the guy's still trying to make money and things like that. So it's not always like a perfect experience there. But I thought this was just clever for pretty much everybody having this type of feature. Hopefully it does just come to Android OS, or is that a thing? Android? I just said Android OS like it was actually a thing. I'm not sure, but I don't think they call it that. Yeah. But
Android OS, that's fair.
Sure. It's Android operating system is true. But yeah, access dots on the Google Play Store for free.
Cool. Awesome. I love that. And it's available for free. Sweet. All right, folks, if you've got thoughts, feedback, questions, tips, etc., you can send those to stt@twit.tv. Thank you to the person who let me know about being able to use streaks with the NFC automation. That was awesome. We record the show, of course, live every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, 2300 UTC. If you don't want to tune in live, though, and you just want to have the show available to you when it is published, well, subscribe. Heading over to twit.tv/STT is where you can go to find the links to the show in all of its formats, both audio and video. So you can get it on YouTube. You can get it in Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, etc. You just click on the corresponding link and find your service of choice. Super simple to do. If folks want to follow you online, where I am sure you will tweet at me with your proof of delivery of my feedback as a service, where do they go to do that?
You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Casinelli, and that's CASSINELLI, and then also MatthewCasinelli.com. I am trying to put all of my shortcuts on my website as soon as possible, so there will be some fun stuff there. And yeah, I'm redesigning tons of it and putting it natively on the web, so it won't just be an Airtable database. So get ready for that. I'm super excited. Yeah, it's been a lot of work, but it'll be excellent.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I'll just go in there and steal all the things. Mm-hmm. I mean, happily snag all the things. If you want to follow me online, I'm at Micah Sargent at pretty much all of the social media platforms. So that's where you go to do that. Oh, yeah. And chihuahua.coffee, chihuahua.coffee, where I've got links to the different things I do online or places where I post online. Thank you all for tuning in. And it is time to say goodnight to your smart assistants.
Good night. I'm going to go turn on the lights in the backyard.
Nice. I'm jealous.